All right. I could actually use a glass of water. If anybody would like to get me a glass of water. Anybody? Thank you, John. That was my little test to see who loved me this morning. Yeah, thank you, John. Thank you, Joy, for getting up to get it. I appreciate that. Everybody else was like, maybe he won't go too long. Maybe he won't go too long. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Thank you, John. Yeah, thank you, John. Amen. One other mini announcement before we get into the Word. As you know, in our facilities, we have problems with, not problems, good problems, but there's this tension that has always existed between our children and us having grown-up church and children's church, and there shouldn't be tension. I said from the beginning, we don't want any tension, but there is this volume thing, you understand. Sometimes they need to have real classroom. We honestly don't tie them and gag them and duct tape them and hold them still. They need to sing songs. They need to have fun. And the other week I heard whistles. Well, good. I want them to have a good time. And with us, we need to get into what we need to get into and not be distracted. A little trick that could help here is if everybody, not you don't have to do it now, but if everybody would sit a little closer, that would actually help to keep us from being distracted by the noise. The other week, well, even last week when Brother Chris Kennedy was here sharing, I sat around this area and I couldn't hear the kids. And when I went in the back around the tables, you could really hear them a lot. So if we move forward, you would be less distracted as well and you would be able to concentrate more. Good job. All right. Yes. I try not to spit too much, so you should be pretty safe sitting near the front. But if you like to sit in the back, that's fine. But, you know, I love the tension, though, of we have kids. We love kids, don't we? Amen. Amen. We might have a lot of kids in there soon. You know? We're praying about reaching out into the community. And I went to a couple seminars at our district office yesterday, and we could have a lot of kids soon. That would be a lot of noise. But you know what? That just means we have to shout louder out here, and, you know, and we'll get closer and get into the Word and allow God to change us, and it'll all be good. Amen. Plant seeds. That's it. So we love our kids. All right. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. Father, as we get into your Word today, I know that you have something special today, Lord. I pray that my sharing would be once again invisible, that we would see your Word and be challenged by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I'm finishing a series on, a message on prayer. I began 2 weeks ago. And to be honest, I think the Lord really wants to work in our life today. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've kind of been distracted so far this service. I honestly have. I've just had a lot of things on my mind all day, and I don't want any of us to be distracted. So let's pray and let's really get in. I think God has something special for us. Amen?
Amen?
That we all get beat up in the world, don't we? We go to our jobs, we do what we do, and we can get beat up and get pretty run down. Well, today I think the Lord wants to refresh us and wants to work in our lives. My illustration I shared probably 600 times by now, of course, was a young man who went to work who, remember, he wanted to be a lumberjack, and he took his axe and went in, and the guy said, let me see what you can do, and he started swinging and knocking a few trees down. Right, I'm just going to kill the mic and just get on my nerves. Let's just move forward. He would swing with the axe, remember, he knocked the trees down. The contractor said, wow, I never saw anybody drop trees like that. That's amazing. You're hired. Start Monday. Came to work Monday. Monday came, he's swinging, knocking down trees. If you remember, Tuesday came, Wednesday came, Thursday came, he's swinging, he's still swinging. The foreman comes over to him and he says, you can pick up your paycheck on the way out today. The man's reply was, I thought payday was Friday. He says, yeah, it is for everybody else, but for you, it's today on Thursday because we're letting you go.
were firing you. His response was, why? I thought you said I was the best lumberjack you've ever seen. I don't understand. And the boss could see that he was really upset. And he said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you been sharpening your axe? And the man's reply was, well, I haven't had time to sharpen my axe. I was too busy cutting down trees. And remember, we shared the fact that if you don't take time to sharpen your axe, you get dull very quickly in this world. You get beat up, and all of a sudden, the things that we were able to get through before, we're not getting through. It's difficult. We're not sharp. What is the sharpening center? Prayer. Getting alone with the Lord is the sharpening center. And remember, we said when we're cutting down the trees of life, if you will, we shouldn't go 4 days before we sharpen it. We should probably sharpen it at every few trees, I imagine. Maybe at lunchtime, I don't know. You know what I mean? Every half a day, we need to stay sharp in order to get through the obstacles in life. And I love the picture of we're swinging this axe, trying to get through the obstacle in life. Remember, I said prayer is the sharpening stone that gets us sharp, but I said Jesus is the one that gives us the power to even swing. And how Jesus would get behind us and grip the axe, much like me teaching my daughter how to hit a baseball. Would get behind and swing that axe with us. And when there's a problem in life, He will come and He will give us the strength. Through prayer, we're sharp. Through the power of Christ, He helps us get right through whatever obstacle comes in life. Amen. We need to sharpen our axe. Some of the things I talked about super quick was that prayer sharpens us. Listen, prayer is a part of the armor of God. If you remember that in Ephesians 6, it had the whole armor put on the full armor of God and went on the shoes of peace, sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times. We usually cut off the armor of God passage at verse 17. Well, that's not true. It continues on. Verse 18 is definitely included in that. Prayer sharpens us. The limitless power of God is at our disposal. The Lord is able to do anything. The Holy Spirit also helps us to prayer. Helps us to pray, rather, I shared. He will speak through us and help us to pray. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. That's very true, that when we're living for the Lord, listen, if we call upon His name, He works and He moves and He heals, even the book of James says. We need to stay sharp. We need to pray without ceasing, the Scripture tells us, throughout the day. Stay with the Lord. Stay sharp. We need to. Don't wait until we're dull. If you're copying those down, we can come back and look at it later on. Today we're going to be looking at part two of this. Like I said, if you wanted to get the earlier things, we could just flip back after service. But Jesus teaches us how to stay sharp. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. That's where we're really going today. Matthew 6, 5-15. We had a great week of prayer week before last. The Lord has been moving in our lives, and I know He's not just calling us to pray, you know, that week, but that we would be a people of prayer this year. That we would see God at work. And again, Matthew 6, verse 5. Jesus says this. And we're going to go through verse 15. When you pray. Did He say if? We can talk because I like that. That helps me. When, right? When. So that implies we're supposed to pray, right? Don't be like the hypocrites. Who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they're going to ever get. The first thing we're looking at today is prayer is not for show. It's not for show. He says, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up on the corner and, Lord, when everybody can see them. Yet what's the problem? their hearts aren't full of prayer. It's not for show. It's not for a public thing to show off is really the word. In church, when we pray, if you feel like your prayers aren't the best sounding prayers, I'm with you, and I feel the same way. Okay? Some people, when they pray, it sounds like it should be on a plaque, doesn't it? Like, it's just beautiful, it's articulate. You know me, that's not me. We just pray. But you know what? Isn't it good that prayer isn't for show? Jesus said it's not for show. If you stand up front and you're like, look at me, I'm so articulate, I can pray so well, I can even pray in three languages and in King James, right? Thou be a soul, Father. I can't do that. Right? It's not for show. You need to get real with prayer this morning. Jesus said, if you try to show off in your prayer, that's all the reward you're ever going to get. That's it. Look at verse 6. For when you pray, go by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Shut out the world. Just you and God. Now, does this mean we can never pray in church? Is that what Jesus is saying? There's no such thing as public prayer? Well, that's not true. Because we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and it really tells us how to have corporate times of worship and prayer. That's not true. But it's saying there should be a reality in prayer that's not just here, but it's when we get home. Right? You agree? Yeah. In our own home. When it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we can't sleep or the Lord is drawing us to spend time with Him, we need to get out of bed and spend time with Him. But even if He's not drawing us, we need to set aside time every day and pray to the Lord. What happens if we don't? We're going to get dull, aren't we? The lumberjack analogy. Should the lumberjack have only sharpened his thing, his axe when the boss walked by? No. In fact, if you did that all the time, you'd probably get fired. I'd only see them sharpen, not cutting up the staff. That has nothing to do with spiritually. It's just a random thought that I get. ADD, I don't know. But we need to get alone with God. Again, I think the first two things speak of the reality of prayer. That we need to get real with the Lord, right? That God is real, His presence is real, it's not this showy thing, and it's real enough that should compel us when it's just me and God, when it's just you and God. The Lord will speak into your life. And He will work in you. And He will change you. And He will challenge you. The next verse. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Prayer is not just babbling nonsense. Okay? It's not just going on and on and on and on. You know what? We don't have to talk that much in prayer, I guess. We need to spend time with the Lord. But I don't know about you. If I came into church, I think, and I wasn't a Christian, and you're talking about prayer, I would think these first three things would be pretty exciting to me. Because sometimes it's opposite of what we think. That prayer is this white robe, ivory tower thing that everybody needs to look and be impressed. And, you know, no. Get by yourself. Get real. Okay, prayer is real. Just you and God. Go spend time with Him. And you don't need to talk a whole lot. You don't need to keep going on and on thinking Jesus is going to answer your prayers just because you have more words. Jesus raised Lazarus. His prayer was 37 words. When a tax collector called out to Jesus in Luke 18, his prayer was this: God be merciful to me, a sinner. He called out to God, and Jesus answered his prayer. Peter was sinking on the water, shortest prayer in all Scripture: Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out to him. Now, am I saying we don't need to spend a whole lot of time in prayer? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying prayer isn't getting in with the Lord and repeating Jesus, Lord, Lord, God, and there's like nonstop, like a chainsaw. Lord God, Jesus, help my mom, Lord God, and her family, Lord God, Jesus, Father, and such. You know what I mean? And you just keep repeating because you're afraid of the silence. The Lord says, stop. Just talk to me. Because it's real. Get at the heart. Don't just babble on. Let's really get to the God's presence. He wants to hear from us. He wants our heart. So, that's good. To me, I like that. Just get into it. It's just real. The neat thing with spending time with the Lord is if you set aside 3 minutes, before you know it, you're doing 4 and 5, you understand, and 10 and 15 and 20 minutes. Maybe an hour, right? Because the Lord is working in our hearts and it becomes this vital thing. We need to give Him time and move closer to Him. Verse 8, don't be like them, Jesus said, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before we ask Him. Another thought here. God knows what we need. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? He knows what we need. So why do we pray if He already knows? Because it's our privilege to ask Him for what we need. Jesus went to people several times in Scripture who were crippled and He said, would you like me to heal you? The obvious answer is probably yeah. But Jesus never went over and made somebody well who didn't call out for him to get well. Right? He didn't say, whether you like to or not, get off your heel. He gave them the opportunity to respond, yes, yes, yes. To the one man who his son was possessed, he was beaten up. Jesus came to him and said, do you believe I can do this? And I love this response. And that's what this guy is going to do. I love it. Jesus says, do you believe I can do this? And the man's response was, Lord, I believe, to help my unbelief. In other words, Lord, I'm there, I'm with you, but right now I'm in a dark place. I just can't muster up this emotional thing right now. It's dark, Lord. I feel like I'm in a hole and nobody's throwing down a rope to help me out. I believe you're able, but Lord, help me with my own belief. Did Jesus rebuke that father? No, He healed his kid. He healed him. That would have been the perfect opportunity for Jesus to say, because you don't believe me, I'm not doing nothing. Go. Your son's dead. But he didn't do that. That's not the character of our Lord, is it? We don't have to muster up enough faith. Right? God isn't hindered by how much emotional faith I can have at that moment. When you're going through a dark time, God isn't hindered by how much you can muster up of emotion. Emotion's okay. It has its place. But listen, we just say, Lord, I believe you. I'm really struggling here. My problems are real. I need you. Faith isn't ignoring your problems. It's saying our problems are real, but God is even more powerful than the situation we're in. That's what faith is. You understand? We don't deny that the darkness and light isn't real, but, you know? It's a weird kind of twisted thing that you can have in church circles. If we have the flu, we're like, I'm not claiming it. I'm going to pretend I don't have it. And you just think, man, I'm sick. But Lord, I trust you. Because you're bigger than me. You understand? If you walk around on a broken leg all your life and just say it's not broken, it's still broken, right? You're still on a cross. Jesus isn't saying, I want to heal you, but I'm tied up because you're not fully giving me 100% of your emotional trust. You. Jesus just works in our lives anyway. Isn't that good enough? He knows what we need. He wants to work in our lives. If only we would call upon Him. If only we would say, Father, give me everything that you have for me. We don't need to pray for 3 hours to do that with nonstop words. We need to get real with the Lord, spend time in His presence. And the Lord works in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the Lord doesn't require me to have super faith to pray. I told you before of a lady who was got the phone call, went to the hospital. She's They said she's dead, basically. A young girl on life support. I mean, it was from Malaga. We probably remember the day I came in late for church. It was Mark Shipley's daughter who was in the hospital. I don't remember her name. Kim? Is that her name?
Kim.
That's it. Kim, yeah. She was in the hospital, sick. Doctor said she's dead, basically. They called Christy, the mother, in private room and said, we need to get you ready for this because we're going to have to pull the plug on her. It was this weird thing that just happened quickly. I walked in the room, youth pastor, drank my coffee on the way, you know, morning, during morning service, the Sunday school hour. Saw her there, I tell you, my heart dropped. And I held the mother's hand and another lady who was there, and I said, you know what, we're going to pray. If God is able. Trust me, it wasn't my prayer. It wasn't that good. Nobody wrote it down. It's not on the plaque anyway. But we just prayed to God. We need you, Lord. And the Lord touched us. Did it happen that moment? No, I wish it did. That would be an even better story. At that moment, she sat up and said, praise the Lord. It didn't work that way. We prayed. I got in my car, and to be honest with you, as I was driving back from service at Malaga, I was still praying while I was driving. I just said, Lord, we need you. You understand. At that moment, I don't feel like I had this supernatural answer. We trusted the Lord. And I'm going back saying, Mark and Christy, they're good people. Lord, don't let this happen. You go back to service, in that church, you know? And later on, I got the phone call that the daughter was doing a little bit better, Kim, and they moved her up to a room, and they told the mom, Christy, to follow, and she got lost with the elevators, and she finally met them to the room, and it was all hopeless and bleak. And as Christy, the mother, was walking up, she turns the corner, and she hears the voice of her daughter, Tom. And she walks in, and she's sitting up and crying. The other part of that, the doctor said if she does recover, she's lost so much oxygen, she's going to be completely retarded. And be a vegetable, you understand. She would never be able to function. She's fine. She's still fine today.
Thank the Lord.
Understand, I don't say that to say it was me. You know that. It wasn't me. It wasn't my prayer. It wasn't. I didn't fast for 2 weeks thinking the Lord was going to use me in a miracle. I was drinking coffee, you know, on the way. It was the Lord. Does he always work in that way? No, because he's sovereign. When he doesn't work and do a miracle, is it because I didn't have enough faith? I don't know. I think that's oversimplifying things. You understand? We just trust the Lord. Listen, he went in and he touched this person. She's still fine today. She's still alive today. She's not afraid yet. It's the Lord. I say that to say, let's really get into his presence. Let's really believe him to be who he says he is. Amen? Let's do that. God knows what we need. He works and moves in our lives. He's not waiting for us to get emotional about something. It's good to be passionate. Don't get me wrong. I love passion through the Lord. But this is all-powerful Creator, God. We enlarge in our scope of who God is. Let's let him out of the God box that we have him in. And remember, he's the one who said, let there be light. Boom! And it was light. Right? The one who spoke the world into existence. Listen, he's able to do everything. Our prayer is not so much to tell God what we need, but it's to prepare our hearts to receive his blessing. Prayer is the opportunity for us to exalt God, lift him up, lower ourselves. I said that 2 weeks ago. It's a privilege to spend time with him. Jesus gave us a model for prayer in Matthew 6. We're going to move through this. Matthew 6, verse 9. Jesus said, you want to know how to pray? In fact, in another gospel, the disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, pray just like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. You know what? I know that King James Version in my heart. You probably know it as well. It's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father and Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Jesus said, here's how you should pray. When Jesus said, this is how you should do it, I think we should listen, right? When Jesus said, this is how to pray, you need to say, this is how we should pray. See, that's how I apply the Bible. Jesus said, this is how you should do it. I'm like, yeah, that's how we should do it. Look at his prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, may your name be kept holy. The first thing, biblical prayer is personal. Our Father in heaven indicates that God is majestic and holy, but listen, he's also personal and loving. This talks about where God is, right? He's in heaven. He's on the highest throne. He loves us. He wants to work in our lives. The next part, may your kingdom come soon. Biblical prayer recognizes God's position. It recognizes that God is in charge. We're saying, Lord, may your kingdom come soon. In other words, God, I care about your stuff more than I care about my stuff. Jesus said it another way, seek first the kingdom of God, right? And his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. The Lord says, take care of my stuff, and I'll take care of your stuff. The Lord's Prayer shows us that prayer is personal and that recognizes his position. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer recognizes our position. We want God's will to be done. We say, Lord, may your will be done. It's not resigning ourselves to fate, you understand. It's not whatever will happen. That's not what this is saying. This is praying for God's perfect will to be accomplished. You understand, that's the prayer that we have for our loved ones that don't know the Lord, don't we? Right? For sons and daughters and parents and cousins and sisters and brothers. We pray, Lord, may your will be done in their lives. In other words, God, if you have to bless them, bless them. But Lord, if it's going to take my uncle to come to the end of himself and lose everything before he gives it to you, do that. May your will be done. Whatever it is, God, your best, most perfect thing, do that. So far, the Lord says prayer is personal. We need to remember God is up here. His stuff is important. He's all powerful. We're down here. His stuff is more important than us. And then we begin to pray for our own needs. To give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our sins, and forgive those who sin against us. God is our sustainer and our provider. We don't provide for our own needs. We must trust God for our daily needs. To this day, give us this day my flat screen TV. Right? Give us everything we want. No, give us what we need. Right? After we come to the place of trusting the Lord and caring about His kingdom, give us what we need. Do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Biblical prayer asks God for guidance. Biblical prayer says, God, we need your help. Deliver us from the evil one. Don't let us yield to temptation, or lead us not to temptation. I think don't let us yield to temptation is a more accurate translation for us today. Does God tempt us and try to make us fall? No. But we need to pray and realize what? The Lord is able to help us get through this life we need to get through, right? If we think we're strong enough to resist temptation on our own, for fooling with us. We need to say, Lord, help us in this. Lord, get me around these places where I'm not able to get through. Help me to resist the evil one. Rescue us, God, from Satan's control in our life. You understand? That's important for prayer, right? I think that also recognizes the spiritual realities of our world, doesn't it? It's not just us. Listen. The devil is real, right? He really wants to lie, steal, kill, and destroy. If we're honest, probably a lot of us can look around our own families and see that, can't we? Oh, that we would pray, God, deliver us. Oh, that we would pray, Lord, deliver my son. Deliver my daughter, right? Lord, help us. We need you to cry out to God and remember that He cares. He's able to work in our lives. And we need complete dependence upon Him. Forgiveness of sin and everything comes from the Father. There's a story of an old man who was dying of cancer. A man named Brennan Manning tells the story. The man's daughter went and talked to the local priest. He asked the local priest to come out and pray with her dad. When the priest arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair beside the bed. The priest thought that this man must have just had a guest or that he was expecting him. So the priest said, I guess you were expecting me, huh? No, who are you? The old man in bed said. Well, I'm the new associate at your parish. I saw the empty chair and I thought your daughter must have told you I was coming. Oh, yeah, the chair, the man said. Would you mind closing the door? To his puzzle, the priest shut the door. And the man said, you know, I've never told anyone, not even my daughter. But all my life, I never knew how to pray. And then one day at church, I used to hear, well, the pastor would talk about prayer and it went right over my head. So I gave up. Because I spent my whole life never praying. Until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, Joe, prayer is a simple matter of having a conversation with Jesus. And his friend said, here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair and place an empty chair in front of you. And see in faith Jesus on the chair. And he says, it's not as spooky as I promised. The Lord says, I'll be with you always. Just speak to Him in the same way you're doing to me right now. So the father tried it when nobody was around, shut the door, put the empty chair there, and called out to the Lord, and he actually liked to do it. He found that he was really communicating with the Lord. He would do it for actually several hours a day, even, as he got older. But he was cautious that his daughter didn't walk by and saw him talking to an empty chair, because she would be calling somebody to come help her dad and send him off to the funny farm. Well, the priest really loved the story, and he encouraged the old man to continue on his journey. He prayed, anointed him with oil, and went home. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the priest that her dad died that afternoon. The priest said, did he seem to die in peace? And the daughter said, yeah. When I left home around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside and he told me one of those corny jokes. And he kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange, Father. In fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. She said, apparently, just before he died, he leaned over and rested his head on the empty chair next to the bed. This man, through prayer and spending time with Jesus, came to have an intimate relationship with Him. Do you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? Are you and Jesus so close to Him that you can just talk as a friend? Do you know that He loves you passionately and He really wants to spend time with you? And He wants to listen to everything you have to say. He said earlier, it's not nonsense. It's us sharing our heart to the Lord and listening to His response. That's the kind of relationship He wants to have with us. Isn't it? Reality of prayer, real briefly, what's the power of prayer? Is there power in prayer? What would you say? What can Jesus do? Today I shared Jesus tells us to pray, and what can He do?
Everything.
Everything, right? Is addiction too strong? Is addiction too strong in the world? Someone who comes in with alcoholism or drug addiction, does Jesus say, man, I wish it was something else? Right? No. Addiction isn't too strong. Is fear too great for the Lord? That Jesus, when He comes to us and wants to work in our lives and He sees us scared to death, does Jesus say, man, I wish it was something else? I can't get you out of that, right? Is that what He says? No. Fear is not too strong. It's financial need too large. When we come to the end of ourselves and there's just no way is there enough money to do what we need to do. Does the Lord say, man, I wish it was something else? Right? No financial. Is too much. How about forgiveness? Is there anybody who's beyond forgiveness? How about us today? If you're here and you wonder, have I done too much and the Lord can't forgive me? Listen, no one is beyond forgiveness. Why? Because it's the power of the Lord. He can set free addiction, take away fear, help with financial need and supply, because that's what He does. Heaven's paved with asphalt. Pray, Lord, kick down a rock. Made out of gold, you know, give us some asphalt, Lord. We need your provision. He can do that. Nobody is beyond forgiveness. How about illness? How about cancer? Is cancer too hard for the Lord? No, right? We've seen that here. Cancer isn't too hard for the Lord. How about heart problems? No. How about loneliness? Is loneliness too hard for the Lord? Does He look at us and say, man, that's dark. Wish it was a cold. No. The Lord's too much. Is loneliness real? Yeah. You don't say, I don't have loneliness, and repeat that 100 times and it goes away. You say, Lord, I have real loneliness. Lord, I need you. My problem is real, but it's temporary. Because we trust the Lord. Loneliness isn't too overwhelming to the Lord. How about loss? How about... I know of someone who... And a few of us here know who I'm thinking of, who the wife had a miscarriage. Horrible situation that just happened. And with praying for them, to be honest with you, I'm beyond words. My heart is just right now. Is loss too hard to believe? Is loss real?
Oh,
yeah. Yes, it is. See, people would tell you, just in faith, pretend it's not real. Listen, it's real. It's real. But Jesus can work. In the midst of loss, can He not? How about marriages? Is there any marriage that's too far gone? Is there any marriage that Jesus said, oh, I wish you didn't do this, that now it's too difficult for me? Why do I say that? Because it's silly. There's always hope. Life is never hopeless. Amen? The last slide today, nothing. It's too hard for God. What's too hard for God?
Nothing.
This is our theme as we go forward as a church. The next 2 years, that's the new theme of the Assemblies of God. What's too hard for God?
Nothing.
Nothing. Our message into our community is, listen, wherever you're at, God can work. You understand? God can work. Marriage problems, God can work. Loneliness, God can work. Addiction, fear, illness, sickness, God can work. Financial needs, God can work. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. What must we do? Call out to Him. Pray. You understand? We need to pray. We need to spend time with Him. And He will work in our life. This message I shared this morning isn't a message of beating us up because we don't pray enough. Who doesn't pray enough? I see a show of hands. Every one of us. Come on. If not, either you're really good or you're lying this morning. Okay? We could all pray more. Dude, we confess that. Let's move forward and say, Lord, help us to pray. Lord, help us to focus upon You in the midst of darkness. Help us to see You at work. Help us to stay sharp that, again, as we come up to obstacles in life, Jesus can work and grab that axe with us and knock down those obstacles. Amen?
Amen.
Sickness. Some of us here, we just go through sickness stuff every day. You know, with aches and pains, and we still move on in Christ's name. Thank You for going forward in Christ's name. You know what? We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep swinging that axe of prayer sharp in the power of prayer, strengthened with all the might of Jesus, you understand, and we'll go through whatever obstacle it is. How long do you pray? As long as it takes. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. I said that to several here, some who weren't able to make it today. Listen, we're going to pray, and we're going to keep on praying, you understand? Nothing's too hard for God. Some trees fall with one swing. Some trees take a lot. And you know what? Some trees are so big, it takes a group effort. And the body of Christ comes around, and we all take a little chunk out of it, you understand? And we'll say, this is for my sister. She needs help, Lord. And we start praying, Jesus, break through in her life. Break through. Lord, that barrier of loneliness, Jesus, break through. And He does. Isn't the Lord good? The message we speak of this year and even next year is freedom to our community. It's not come to church because we have really cool video clips on occasion. It's not come to church because the pastor's beard is cool. You understand? It's not come to church because we have donuts. That's good. Good. We say come to church because Jesus wants to break through in your life. Come to church because you need Christ. Come to church because nothing is too hard for God. Life on our own, too hard. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Why don't we stand and we'll close this prayer this morning? Hallelujah. Yes. This morning we want to pray, thank you, Sheila. We want to pray for Lorraine's son. She stopped over this morning and said her son has an ear infection and he's in the hospital.
She just left the hospital.
She just left the hospital, okay. Is he still at the hospital though?
No, I think
they brought her home. Okay.
Yeah, she just ran in and let us know.
Just keep her first. She's still in the hospital? Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for Janine this morning. Anybody else? Yes, Bob?
For Pete, he has Huntington's disease.
Yeah.
And but I believe God will heal.
Nothing's too hard.
Nothing.
We'll pray. We'll pray for Pete. Those of us today, just as a sign of surrender to the Lord, if you're here, and I'm not going to ask you to give me any, but there's just something in your life you need God to do a breakthrough. I see a show of hands. This morning, okay. Those of us, I was going to say, those of us that don't have anything gathered around them, we all do, so that's okay. I'll tell you what. do something really weird. Okay? Let's ask him to do good. Let's come forward as a family real quick. Let's pray for those needs that we have, okay? I was going to ask you to get near somebody who has a need. Listen, we all have needs. Let's just huddle up for a second. Let's come together as a... Football huddle, yes. Doris, I know you're not feeling well. You can even have a seat here. Sorry about that. And let's just pray. Listen, let's get together as a family. We can even squeeze in a little bit more, okay? Listen, God is real. Amen? Amen? Listen, the person next to you has real needs. You understand? Why don't we loop around, too? Let's just get it. Let's just get it. Really strange. I use the word all the time here. That's family. We're family. Okay? Is there something supernatural that we're gathered together? I don't think so. I think we're just here because it symbolizes that we're in this together, doesn't it? But we're in this together. Listen, whatever the dark thing in your life, you don't even need to tell me because the Lord knows. Understand, I don't need details. If you want to share details, great. But the Lord knows. And some of us today, I know the details, but you don't want anybody else to know. Listen, the Lord's able. Let's just take the next 2 minutes, okay? Let's pray and ask God to give us a breakthrough. Why don't you pray? If you don't even know the need, that's fine. Pray not just for your own need. In fact, maybe do that later. Pray for the person on your left and on your right. And pray that God would work in their lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just begin to pray. Just pray on your own. Call out to the Lord today. Pray to the one to the left and to the right that the Lord would meet their need. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Work, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bring the freedom, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bring freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We cry out, Lord. We cry out, Lord. Bless us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Become the family united in Christ's name. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, with your spirit, with your presence, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come together as a family, united in everything in Christ, Lord. Lord, we pray for Denise today, who's in the hospital, who needs a tremendous touch from you. Lord, Denise is our sister in the Lord. She's part of the family. We pray for Denise that she will touch her in Jesus' name. Lord, whatever her illness is, Lord, nothing's too hard for you. Whatever the loneliness is that she has, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. Bring her healing in Christ's name we pray. In Christ's name we pray for Lorraine's son with this ear infection, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name that you would touch him and heal him. Lord, Lorraine is now part of our family. Her son, by default, is part of our family. Nothing's too hard for you. Lord, we pray that you would heal him in Christ's name. For Pete, Lord, who, though he's in Connecticut, God, Pete is part of our family. Lord, touch him, God, we pray. Bring him healing, Lord. Bring him healing with this Huntington's disease or whatever it is, Lord. You know, heal. I pray in Jesus' name. Defy the doctors. When they said there is no hope, be the hope. When they said there is no way, thank you that you have said, I am the way. Lord, work in his life. Hallelujah, I pray in Christ's name. Christ's name. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, as we know that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, God, I pray that you touch and heal and work and move for Millie and John, Lord, bless them, hallelujah, hallelujah for my brother, in Christ's name, Lord, touch them, hallelujah, nothing's too hard for you, nothing's too hard for you, we give it to you, Jesus, every area, Lord, in blood, life, bless. Bless him, God. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to keep swinging, bud. We're going to keep swinging. The Lord's going to do a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Work. entitled with your word, Lord, in Jesus' name, touch my sister. Touch my sister. Lord, I anoint Joe with oil in the name of Jesus, Lord. Simple the Holy Spirit, Lord, and move in his life. Hallelujah for Maria in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. For I am God. Work and move. We call out to you. Nothing's too hard for you. The deep request of their heart, Lord, you know. For Clay, God, my brother in the Lord, Jesus, touch him. Lord, whatever the desires of his heart he has, Lord, work in him. Do miracles, Lord, in Jesus' name. Work in his life. Work in his life. For Bob, Lord, we pray. Work in his life. Nothing's too hard for you. Nothing's too hard for you. Touch him, Lord, I pray. For Marge, the same thing, Lord, touch her. Bless their marriage, in Christ's name we pray. Nothing's too hard for you. For my sister Sheila, Lord, bless her, Lord. Touch her, God. You know everything that she has, Lord, all her needs and bill, Lord. You know what keeps them up at night. Work in those needs, we pray in Christ's name. Even when others have said it's too hard, there's nothing too hard. For Rich, Lord, work, God, in his life, I pray in Christ's name. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too hard. The deep needs he has, Lord, work in his life. Hallelujah. Work in Jesus' name. Work in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, for my sisters in the Lord. Work in Christ's name. Work in Christ's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, freedom, Lord. Hallelujah. Work. In Christ's name we pray. In Christ's name, nothing is too hard for you. No heartache is too difficult, Lord, for you to heal. Lord, no addiction is too strong. No loneliness is too dark, Lord, in Jesus' name. No sickness is too difficult, Lord. Bless Doris with her knees and the other problems she has in Jesus' name. Touch her, Lord. Nothing's too hard. So joy, God, bless her. Touch her, Lord. Nothing is too difficult. We submit her to your hands for my only, Lord. Nothing is too difficult. In Jesus' name, work in her life. For Bobby, God, I pray as I anoint her with oil, Jesus, that you would once again fill me with your spirit to overflow. Nothing is too hard for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nothing is too difficult for you, Lord. Thank you guys for being with the kids. Nothing's too hard for the world. We're just praying for whatever. Yeah. The Lord knows the deep place in our life. Being this morning, we shared nothing's too hard for the world. Among everything else. That's the gist of it this morning. We're just going to pray. There's so many needs in the church. We're going to gather around and pray. Let's let them in the circle here. We want to pray for you as well. Thank you. Seriously, for ministering to our kids this morning, but you're also part of the family, you know that, and we're going to pray for whatever, nothing's too hard for God. Lord, I pray for being able to touch her in Jesus' name. Lord, nothing's too hard for you. Whatever needs she has, Lord, those that we don't know and they're none of our business, Lord, I ask you to work in her life in those situations. Nothing's too hard for you. Work in her life, I pray in Jesus' name. For Olga, God, bless her, Lord. Work in her life. Nothing's too hard for you. Nothing's too hard. Touch her, Lord, in Christ's name. Minister to her. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. We cry out to you today, Father. Hallelujah. Work in our lives. Thank you for working in us, Lord. Jesus, I pray as we go, God, that you would be with us, that we would carry your banner forward into the world, proclaiming that you can do all things. Hallelujah. We'll pray for Donna and Amber. Donna's okay, Amber's sick. Lord, we pray for Amber this morning. You would bless her, God. Lord, that she would heal her, take away this cold that she has. Help her to see you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, for Donna, bless her as well. Lord, you know the things that she goes through. Lord, work in her life. Work in her life, God. In Christ's name we pray. For children in the back, Lord, they're part of the family as well.
Yes.
Work in their life. Keep them safe, God. Draw them to you. We ask all these things in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Glory to your name. We pray. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, the Lord is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Listen, nothing's too hard as we go forward. Nothing. What's too hard?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's going to get real repetitive. Okay? Nothing. Go home. It's real dark. Flip the light. What happens? The darkness leaves. The light from your bulb doesn't struggle to get through. You'll never see this darkness and the light kind of warring with it. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. No darkness even can stay near him at all. Sure.
Some people know about my first time, a little month since I'm on the deathbed. They when we called a doctor, family, family took a couple hours. They pulled a button, he just woke up out of him.
How's he doing, John?
Good. He's talking about the storm.
So if you didn't hear John, we were praying, they pulled the plug to let him pass off the life support. He sits up and starts talking, and he's still talking. So it was a week ago, John, something like that? Over a month now that they pulled the plug? The Lord is able, nothing's too hard. Thank you, John, for sharing that. We trust him today. Yeah. God bless you.